to thee, O Lord.
Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. This is the gospel of the Lord. There are plenty of what I like to call classic Bible class Sunday school stories all throughout the scriptures and in our lectionary readings throughout the years. Stories that we have heard year in and year out, just like this gospel reading, this short little lesson this morning. I'm sure many of you know all about this. Mary and Martha, or is it Martha and Mary? This is often used for women's groups and women's studies. And in fact, this is even the gospel reading for this afternoon's Vespers as we commission and install our new deaconess. The question gets asked with a text like this, a short little four-verse text like this, after hearing Mary and Martha throughout the gospel reading. The question gets asked, are you more like Mary or are you like Martha? And oftentimes, we gather our thoughts together and we may write these things down. Well, how am I like Martha? Or how am I like Mary? Am I off constantly busy doing this, doing that at everywhere and everything? Once at work, once at home, with the school, with the kids, maybe helping out of the church? Are you like Martha, running around constantly busy, frustrated, concerned about all the cares and worries of life? Or are you Mary? Mary, the perfect Christian. Mary, the one who got all the answers right in Bible class. And who is at all of the Bible classes, by the way, at the church. Mary, who sits endearingly at Jesus' feet, listening and soaking up every precious word from Jesus. Mary, who doesn't even give Jesus anything to eat or drink. Mary, who doesn't sweep the house to welcome Jesus. Mary, who dearly listens to Jesus' every word. So are you Mary or are you Martha? And in the end, we get some sort of moralistic story about how you can be less like Martha and be more like Mary if you just try harder. You just pray harder, read your scriptures harder and more often. We hear things about how you get so busy with the cares of life, how you don't come to church, you don't come to Bible study. Why do you worry about all of the things in the world, like your retirement, your money, your kids, your grandkids? The very fact that we live in a more and more dark and violent country, as we heard even the breaking news this morning that more police officers have been shot. We get so busy, we get so caught up in the things in life, and then we hear about how you need to be doing more at church. And I think this is all wrong. I think it's all wrong to pit Mary against Martha, to somehow say Mary is so much superior in her faith, that she somehow presents to us a better example to follow, and that by us trying a little bit harder, we can do better. Volunteering, coming to every study, praying in the midst of everything, listening to everything that Jesus really says intently. That's good. I wish more people would do it. But is that really what this is all about? In case you hadn't realized, our Old Testament reading talks about Abraham as well. Maybe this isn't just for the women in the women's groups, huh? Maybe you men get just as caught up in things as well, constantly trying to figure out what we need to be doing, but at the same time being pulled with all of the things at church. Abraham has the same worry and concern. The Lord visits Abraham and Sarah, and Abraham doesn't sit down at the Lord's feet. He goes and tells Sarah to get busy in the kitchen, to get out the grub for the Lord. He's here. He goes and sacrifices the best of his meats. and has it all prepared. And you'll notice that the Lord never once asks him for a big meal. So what do we gain from all of this today? How do we approach this? When in many ways, I would say we have approached it wrong in the past. The big deal about this short reading today is not how much Mary did, or the fact that Sarah did exactly what Abraham said. It's not about how little Martha did in her priorities of not listening to the word but being carried up with the busyness of this world. The bigger deal is that in the midst of all of these situations, the Lord visits his people. He comes to them. Whether they are attentive to him and sitting at his feet, or they are busy with the life's cares and concerns and the worries. The Lord visited Abraham and Sarah, who had no children. Abraham and Sarah, who said that they would be the father of many nations throughout the history of the world, and yet they are in their dear old age and not one child to pass on the inheritance. The Lord visited them and said in the midst of this meal that next year we will visit you and Sarah will be with child. And sure, Sarah listens to this, and I wish we had more of the reading in our lectionary. She laughs at the Lord. She doubts what he says. She thought it was impossible. Mary and Martha receive the Lord. Mary sits endearingly at Jesus' feet, and Martha is busy in the kitchen like a chicken with her head cut off, worried all about entertaining our Lord. She gets upset and states that Mary is ignoring her needs, but in the end, Jesus is still with them. Jesus still visits them in the midst of all things. And that is the same for you, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Many, many, many of you have gone through some truly difficult times and situations in your life. Many, many, many of you have volunteered, and many, many of you come to Bible class and pray regularly, and others don't. And others don't. This isn't about pitting up camps against each other in the life of the congregation. It isn't about judging and ruling who is more faithful or unfaithful in the midst of all of these things. In the reality of all of this, this isn't about what we are trying to do for Jesus. And that's certainly not what this text for Mary and Martha is all about as well. It's not that they hosted Jesus. It's actually that Jesus came even in their own house. That in the midst of all of the major wars and the unending violence that we're hearing about in our society today, in the midst of the worries about our safety and security, in the midst of the worries about our health, our retirement, our finances, and the midst of the many other concerns that we have in the midst of our life, Jesus still visits you. He comes to you with his word. In the midst of worrying about all of the things, running around, bustling around, all around the place, acting like in the end the world is falling apart, acting like we can't get it all done, Jesus still, and he gives you the one thing truly needful, the one thing that will truly help you in all things, himself, his word spoken to you. And as we come to this place, or whether it is in Bible class or in the midst of our life of prayer, sitting at his feet and listening to his word, that is the one thing that is truly needful in the midst of all the bustling cares of this life. And here is why. We have really only one need that needs to be met. It is the need of forgiveness. The need of God and his salvation, a need that we cannot meet on our own, by our own work, even, yes, in our much serving, praying, reading, studying, and everything else here in the life of the church. Our sins are evident that we are in need of much more than what we can provide. Our inner sinful nature, from which we cannot free ourselves, shows us that we still need, yes, we still need, even as Christians in the church, we need God's forgiveness, his daily cleansing of our sins. That is why he came. That is what he has done for you, to meet every possible need that you could have, yes, but even more so to remind you that your greatest need has been met in his cross and his resurrection. As Paul says in our epistle reading from Colossians today, he says, "You who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he, Christ, has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him." It is in all of the life and all of the death and all of the resurrection and the visitation of our Lord to you that he saves us, that he comforts us, that he gives us all things in him, that he has chosen to save us and to serve you and me by his innocent death and his glorious resurrection. This isn't about what we have come to worship and do for Jesus today. It is about Jesus coming to you, his people, and beckoning us to sit down so that we may dine with him, not with the food that we have prepared, but with the heavenly food that he now sets before us today, to remind us that at this altar is his body and blood shed for us on the cross, that cleanses us from our sins, that frees us from the bondage of death, that liberates us for new life and, yes, new service in our community and in this place called the church. Time and time again, whether we become anxious and worried about our life, troubled and distracted with all the many cares and worries, or whether we are calmly sitting at the feet of Jesus. This is why I don't think we can look at this and say, "Are you a Mary or are you a Martha?" But I think I'll punt it and say that we are both in life. Brother Lawrence, who was a monk who lived in the 16th century, wrote about this text. And I know it's a monk, but it's okay to quote a monk now and then. He says, "The time of busyness does not differ with me from the time of prayer. The time of busyness does not differ with me from the time of prayer. And in the noise and clatter of my kitchen, while several persons are at the same time calling for different things, I possess God in as great tranquility as if I were on my knees in prayer." Brother Lawrence did the work of Martha, busy in the kitchen, but he had the heart of Mary. That is what it means to live out our life and our vocation as a Christian, to stay in the busyness of life, yes, to be worried and concerned about all the things with our health, our finances, our family, and whatnot, but to know that in Christ, everything transforms into holy life with him, into holy action. Scripture beckons us in Colossians as well. It says, "Whatever your task, put yourselves into it as done for the Lord and not for your human masters." Paul also says in Ephesians, "Render your service with enthusiasm as to the Lord and not to humans." Our daily work, whether it be in our schools, our homes, whether riding around in a patrol car, in our offices, or our retirement, or even here at the church, can be holy moments where we sit at the feet of Jesus while in the midst of our work. Brother Lawrence also says, "Think often on God, day and night, in your busyness, and even in your diversions, because we must always remember that God is always with you. I am with you always to the very end of the age," he says. And this is why Luther as well says that we should begin our day intentionally, that in the morning when you get up, make the sign of the Holy Cross, say in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, pray the Lord's Prayer, say the Apostles' Creed, and begin your work with joy and in service to your neighbor. That small little act truly can set the tone of your day, beginning in the name of God who has given you his own name and his own inheritance. But then we can also turn the mundane, work that we face day in and day out into the holy work God has put before us. By simply praying in the midst of our activities, praying for God to open up your eyes and your ears to the work of God and for the love of neighbor that is found in your midst. This isn't given to us to make already more busy lives busier, but it's simply to open up our eyes to the new and fresh realities every day that we face as dear children of God, who do not live as people wrapped up in the world, but as people of God, given the holy love of God, the blessedness of everlasting life in God. This isn't another thing to add to the tired feeling you already got. It's a combination of Mary and Martha and seeing that Jesus visited both women and met them where they were at. This can transform our perception and showing us that we live lives of holiness in each moment to realize that Jesus truly means what he says. Remember, I am with you always to the very end of the age. He is with you lifting up his cross, his empty tomb before your eyes. He is with you this day in this wonderful and blessed meal, forgiving you and strengthening you in this faith so that you may face this dark, dying, and evil world, going out as salt and light, letting your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven, but always facing each day, being reminded that Jesus is always with you. Whether you are busy like Martha or attentive like Mary, Jesus is with you. And he beckons you this day to come and recline at his table, where he meets you in all the busyness of life, to forgive, strengthen, and restore you in his love. To Christ alone be all the glory, now and forever. Amen. We rise for the offertory.